Saturday night, these things I'm playing now, it's unbelievable, his concerts, and how the Rolling Stone magazine, everybody ignored it. Just like they ignored McLuhan and all his better stuff.
It's really interesting what you brought into your vibrational proximity, Bob, which one can only see by looking at the chart, but why those particular, and of course it's obvious when you start looking at them why you chose them, why they're significant. But what was guiding your level, your awareness of what's significant?
Partly they had a sense of humor. Humor was a big factor, which I didn't know until I met them. I mean, I read their ideas in that first. I didn't know Mae Brussel was so cool until I studied her stuff for a year or so, and then I called her up and then started to have regular phone conversation with her, and then she was a total sub-genius. And I thought that was incredible for someone who was such a serious researcher. And then McLuhan had the sense of humor, and LaRouche did. They all did. Beater. Garrett was incredible. Garrett was absurdly funny. Garrett was the closest to J.R. Bob Dobbs or Slackmaster.
Do you think Ofenel had a sense of humor?
Had a sense of humor?
Yeah.
Well, that's me. Yeah, I think Ofenel.
Yeah, because Ofenel, I mean, like you're asking Bob, like, how did the chart happen? I've heard either Ian or Bob say that, you know, the Angels helped Bob with his charts. But tonight I've had the first thought that, you know, it was you in the Timeless, you as Ofenel, would have been drawn to all the perfect things.
Yeah. And probably Ofenel fucking set it up that way.
Yeah.
It was all set up by Ofenel to get to this point of waiting for the aliens. And it's very interesting, these cats, they're not there anymore. So I asked JW or Ion or both, and they said, we whisked them away, and he won't tell me why.
Oh,
they
yeah.
ain't there anymore.
Sorry, I didn't ask about that. I meant to ask about that, Bob. You had mentioned that during my engagement.
You have to realize, I'd go out every night, and there would the cat be just sitting there, expectantly, very quiet. And I'd walk up to it, and wouldn't run away, and we'd stare at each other. And it had a very nice, comfortable, cat-like demeanor. And then I would walk away, and they'd remain there. And then,
well, how long now have they been away, Bob?
About a week. And then it was a real sequence. So then Ian told me the significance of them. So I started looking at them, and they started walking away. They never did that for weeks, for months. They started to walk away and leap off the wall. So I found out that I should stand where they leap off. They're showing me where the opening is, the portal is.
Yeah, yeah.
They started doing that, and then they weren't there for a while. Then they came back for the last couple of times, and I went and stood by where they leaped off. But then they never came again. And Ian said they had done their bit and didn't need them anymore. Now we're onto I have new instructions. But in the middle of that, there's no way that antlered beast that showed up and looked right at me, and Ian pointed out, had no ears. I didn't notice it had no ears, but it was an odd-looking deer head. And the way it's still in my mind, the way it looked
That's
at me.
That's a Wendigo,
me.
Bro.
Right.
That's a Wendigo.
What's a Wendigo?
The antler, it's a cryptoid with antlers.
Oh, yeah?
It won't have ears like that because it will have more of a human face.
What's a cryptoid?
Cryptoids would be Bigfoot, Wolfman, human sort of anthropomorphized creatures that are out there.
Like Loch Ness Monster would be another
one. Yeah. But a Wendigo is a very specific one of them. It can change any form. It can call you in Carolyn's voice. And it can put terror into you. I mean, it, those are the things associated with it. It's
never heard of it. That's cool,
it's,
Michael.
Native American folklore is where it comes from, but I think its imagery is in many places.
Wow.
Yeah, so the point is that now that they're not there, and I look back at what happened, they were communicating to me. They had a function there. It's so obvious now. I didn't know it as it was unfolding. But the fact that they're not there now and we've moved to another phase is the final communication that they were doing the whole time. Because it was just in my mind, the way the one cat was always there expectantly for me to come out, and then he would look at me and would stay there. He wouldn't run off. So Carolyn, after they started to disappear, like they disappeared and then they came back. Now they've completely disappeared for a long time. But in that first period where they were not there, they usually were there every other night. And they started showing up on the pathway in the morning when Carolyn went to walk. Near where the wall is, there would be the cat. And Carolyn took a picture of it to show me. So I asked Diane, what's going on there? And they said, the cat thinks Carolyn's you. So they're monitoring you, and, oh, there he is. It's morning time. He's out there. I don't know why he's out there, but let's go over and look at him. They thought Carolyn was me. And they only did it a couple of times, but that was interesting.
I thought it was interesting that Ian suggested that you were to have hopped on the Wendigo or the deer. That's interesting. Interesting to think, like, okay, you know, what part of what's going on is you're like kind of needing to like adjust
the rehearsal.
Like you're adjusting your responses. Like, how do you respond to these situations?
It was a perfect way to get me ready to see an alien if they look odd and not human.
Right.
It was a perfect rehearsal because I saw it and it stared at me, and then it ran off. But I said, no, you got on it, and you went to New Zealand. You were gone for what? I think I told you I was gone for 2 days or something. Some ridiculous thing. And I said, what did I do? He said, well, you asked them a lot of questions when I was with them, which is what I do anyways, ask a lot of questions. So, but I can see that part is nebulous, but I can see they're preparing me. Do the antler thing. So, okay, well, there's what you've got to get used to, some strangeness. So then interacting with this strange animal, the cat, would be another way of interacting with this, interacting with a strange species. So it's been quite logical what's been going on. Now, JW, he says he can see every night he sees me doing this. He has seen me go through the wall 1,000 times. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and he sees how it happens, and he has been around them. So he knows what they look like.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah, that's JW's weird life since Ian came in. And he sees a lot of things, you know.
Yeah.
So I think most of it, sometimes I am, but JW has told me the next phase, what to do next.
Cool.
So I'm now doing a new thing. So I don't say what it is just to make it a little more valuable, not just...
Yeah, you wouldn't want to.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to say it. Mm-hmm.
Until it's run its course and we get into something else,
then
that becomes figure. It's obsolete, so I can talk about it.
Wise, Bob, very
but
wise.
I've been doing this every night since October. Pretty soon I'll be doing it for a year. Who would do that? Do this stupid thing of going out there?
I was laughing, but you didn't hear me. Yeah, that's amazing. That really is. That really is.
Yeah, I have to clean the doorknob before I go out. There's a whole instructions on how I have to leave the house. I can't take any of the secular dirt on the door with me, because when I go through the wall, that'll be on me, and the angels will see me. If I don't have the dirt from me, on me, I'll get to the thing before the angels see it. So that's the whole process now, I got to do.
Now the washing of hands starts to make sense.
Yeah.
The theme. Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
I've been interacting with the aliens for decades, for fuck's sake.
No, but for ages you've been washing off any way that the angels can trace you. You just do it automatically.
Yeah.
Even before you learned about the angels, you were making sure you remained untraceable.
Well, and that brings up the reality of the Evergreens. In October 89, there had been a report out of Moscow, some alien sighting, and Pravda was saying it was real and all this. So I asked the Evergreens about it, who would never talk about the aliens. George Reynolds had the same experience. So on that time, it was around Lennon's birthday, October 9th. I guess that's his birthday, and close to it, he met Yoko in 66 around that date. So I always remember in terms of them. But the Evergreens said, when I asked, they said, well, we've never done this before, but we're going to tell you. And so they laid out a lot of stuff about aliens. So I was the first person to get it from the Evergreens. So I felt special for that. But now it's so fucking appropriate. And the Evergreens kind of knew. They broke their rule and told me about the aliens' reality and what was going on in Moscow.
Do you remember what they told you?
Oh, yeah, they told me that it was real, and the generals or whatever told Gorbachev this. Gorbachev said, well, if that's true, then what we're doing is pretty stupid. And I said, what were we doing? And just doing human stuff, doing what he politics and all that. It was all pretty stupid compared to this other reality that the aliens had. And then they formed six countries, almost like echelon, about six governments were informed of this, and they started to form... take UFO sightings seriously, and that was from 89 into 90, and they told me that the military will infiltrate the UFO fringe circuits and build up the meme that these aliens are hostile, and we've got to have a new preparation, so it would be a new Cold War, so it would justify the military budget going up. So they said that, and then a few years later, Bowerd visited, and he told me he'd been going around in the UFO circuit, and he had decided by 94, 95 that they're being infiltrated by military people, and it was a corrupted scene, and that they were basically trying to get you paranoid of the aliens. So that confirmed what the Evergreen said, Walter's experience. Mm-hmm. And then that was about it. And then whatever details of sightings and that I would ask, I'd ask the Evergreens about. But now, it's so the UFO researchers are thinking, yes, there's an invasion coming, but it'll be faked by the Pentagon and to do what the Evergreens said, to get a big budget and be part of the new guarding the Earth on a bigger level. So it's post-Cold War. But it's actually going to be a real invasion, and a lot of people are going to be killed. So it goes back to, the paranoid scenario.
The Evergreens talking to you about that, was that one of the first times that you really started to consider the alien activity legitimately, or had you already been doing that?
Well, I was always interested in it. I used to talk to Worcester about it way back in the late 60s, early 70s. I was always aware of everything that was happening on fringe and culture and art and not fringe, but I was lazy. I wouldn't read much. I'd have a book or two and look at it, but I didn't even fucking read it, you know. I did see Daniken speak in Dalhousie at Halifax in 74. That was the beginning of it. You know about him? Eric von Daniken?
Okay.
He put out a book called Chariots of the Gods in the early 70s, and he had gone around and found all these sites and Peru and that had carvings that the tribes said were sacred, and you would look at them and you could see it was an astronaut. So he mm-hmm. was the one, he was the first guy after the 50s when George Obdamski and those people who, you remember, I was sent over to look at what was going on around George Obdamski in the 50s by the Secret Council 10. That was one of my first times in North America, my first assignment. So we were always tracking the UFO stuff. But Eric von Daniken, his book was a big seller. He became a big phenomenon in the mid-70s. And then he disappeared, and then all these other people took over. They got attention. But look it up, Chariots of the Gods. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's the original book.
Interesting.
So I was... Basically, what I see my interest was aesthetic. I was interested in high science, high art, you know, the most avant-garde stuff. And so popular shit didn't engage me that much. I mean, I like pop music, but I went with the guy who didn't do pop music. The guy who was actually hated it. Put out his album, Kill Ugly Radio. So I was always a... I would say I had a similar mind as artists and people who are loners or actually real serious philosophers. That's what I thought I was.
Yep, definitely.
And I thought I was serious and that I was cool because I was open-minded. Luckily, I would allow myself to do the mediums, which most wouldn't do. So I knew I was special that way because I would have good experiences with these mediums, and I'd learn stuff, and they looked pretty validated. And then getting the D-cell, so I always felt lucky. Definitely was one of the luckiest people going.
I feel like you're like some of those temperaments, like you were saying, the artistic part. It's like to even do the medium thing. There's kind of like an adventurous or exploratory aspect of like, okay, yeah, I don't know, but let's try it. I feel like a lot of artists have that, you know, to continue pushing forward. And so
and
that
you're
was
lucky
like your...
you find good ones. I found good mediums. That's what was incredible.
Yeah, like you didn't need to like make anything in the traditional sense. Like you engaging those mediums was like an art, you know.
They were all new. They all had a new angle to them. And what was it? So, being a philosopher, doing that. Oh, and then I find out that McLuhan, Zappa, every one of them used fucking mediums. You know? That was the secret.
Yeah. Tesla, right. Jeez.
I remember in 74, there was the year of Daniken. I'm talking, and I phoned him up for some reason, McLuhan, and I've told this, and I was living off bananas for some reason. And I told McLuhan this. He says, no, don't do that. Edgar Cayce says that's bad. And he quoted Edgar Cayce for fucking sake. Like, what? That's my world. I never expected McLuhan to be, you know, doing that. But he quoted Edgar Cayce in a serious discussion of my diet, you know? Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Because nobody knows that he did that. I'm the only one who heard him say it. I don't know anybody else who ever heard him mention something fringy like that, Edgar Cayce. Maybe he did to his friends, you know, Ted Carpenter or something, but he didn't let anybody know about it. But then again, he felt he could tell me. So there again, lucky that they felt that I was okay, that they could drop that guard.
Yeah, that's that lucky piece. Not tonight, but another time I want to go through some of the names that you normally talk about because I was looking at Bob Carr when I was transcribing, and then I didn't know how to spell Ralph Doobie. And so I was like doing some like double, you know, making sure it's okay. Yeah, I've got the right, you know, so I want to in the future do a bit of an inventory so that I can track the right ones, you know, and make sure I have a little blurb on each of those.
See, that's what's so cool about Ion is that he very early would I don't know if I ever mentioned them, but he would know about them. And then he'd start talking to them. And now Bob Carr is a big deal in Ireland. Bob Carr is like the last holdout. Worcester's died, Ralph has died, Ralph Doobie. And Ian goes on about Bob Carr. I think Bob Carr would die laughing if he knew this. What I was saying about him. So that's what's cool about Ian. He knows key names in my private mythology, my personal chart, so to speak. You know, like Bob
and it's
Carr.
Amazing. It's amazing, like, learning a language. I'm sure, Michael, you experienced this too, and Brian, whoever's here. Still, but it's like, so here I am at my computer. I just transcribed that, and so I heard Ian talk about all the holy offices, and then, you know, Bob Carr off the Flying Ginny, Ralph Doobie, and then Reverend Stank. So I'm like, okay, Bob Carr, and so I sit down and I Google Bob Carr, and like, I'm thinking it's probably a double R. And I don't get any hits, and so then I'm starting to see, oh, Robert, maybe, and I'm, like, not getting much because I use Brave. You know, I don't use Google very much anymore.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, yeah, Godman, Conman. Like, I knew the language, like, surrounding the name. Like, I just popped it out of my head. Like, that's so hilarious. And I was like, this is so funny that I just know the book. I've never even seen the book, never even read the book, have no idea, but, like, I have the phraseology. So then I was able to find it and look into it more. But, yeah, I'd like to have that with some of the other ones.
Yeah, so, we can do that. I always like talking about them.
The last thing I'll say before I head off into drifting is that in that Melting Titanium that I listened to, 76, or actually I listened to two, so it might have been the other one, but I'm pretty sure it is this one about the aliens. You're talking about how Ion is like an alien encounter, right? Like the alien.
In this session
encounter.
I'm talking that way?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And the interesting clue that's revealed in this Melting Titanium is that so the aliens have come through Ion, and prior to Ion they came through Ezekiel. So Ion connects the alien aspect to Ezekiel, and I had not heard that before. So that was a big, you know, that's not something I've heard in general, like one of the themes. So obviously I know the Coldplay is in Ezekiel. You know, there's a lot of different things in Ezekiel, but connecting it to the aliens was pretty interesting. So... yeah, just that's like a 10-minute one, that 70 Melting Titanium 76. And
only 10 minutes?
Yeah, it's like 10 or 12 minutes long. Yep.
Oh, that section or the whole performance?
The whole clip is a smaller segment going into the UN woman with the alien, the UN ambassador woman.
Maybe that was 10 minutes and then the machine broke or something and we had to start over again.
It seemed like, maybe there's two different ways to access Melting Titanium because I'm accessing them on ianandbob.blogspot and it sounds like you're playing them like how you play the rewrites, how you'll play them on a payday and you'll feature them. So you would have taken an excerpt and like and featured it.
Yeah.
But maybe, is there another way to access more of the full Melting Titanium? Is that like something you can pay for on
Ionic? They're all, we post them, unless maybe I did edit them, some of them.
Yeah.
Maybe and so there would be reasons why I edit them.
Right.
Don't worry, there's other interesting stuff unfolding. In a way, that's all old news, that stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fun. It was fun. I like going back into the early stuff. And
It's good because you'll find neat things. But we're in a more dramatic point now. Now, I was just thinking that, what was I just thinking? I used to say that Ion was a pterodactyl. It was a monster hovering over the planet.
Yeah.
Now I just realized that's the tech body.
Right.
I'm picking up on the tech body. That's the pterodactyl right. monster part of Ion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, another new yeah. discovery.
And the alien factor, you know, like the hovering over the 22 cities. Like, that's definitely resonant there, too.
Over the what? The 22 cities, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You like, mean the number is resonant?
No, the image of a pterodactyl hovering over the
Earth. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Well, thank yeah, you, very, as always. This is I just really enjoy everything, and thanks, Bob, for
well,
all the fun.
It's pure discovery. It's pure. It's the way you. This is the way you do education, the way we're doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so grateful. I have such a good time. Michael,
well,
it's cool.
I'm glad you go and look stuff up. You
fun.
Found the May 28th, or you transcribed it. Or, did you find it, or Michael find it? What happened there? The May 20th, 2019 segment.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how Michael found it, but I just
I found it on Ian and Bob. My
and
attention
then,
was
and,
drawn to on Ed's side.
Right. And then yep. Alyssa went and got it out of the archives and transcribed it.
Well, it's been two things independent of each other that ended up, you know, coming together in a great timing because I had started transcribing the September 7th tech body excerpt. That's the first one that I sent to you.
Yeah.
And that's like the here's the answer to every question you have.
Yeah.
And then yeah then I just started, you know, like, hey, I'm gonna go to the very first one and start listening. I didn't even know it was me on there. And so then I
right.
started transcribing it, and I do. I'm excited to listen to your version because the audio sounded really strong, and it started with that funny Android meme thing. So that'll be cool, Michael.
Yeah, the so it's great that you guys, you and Bert, are going back there and looking, finding stuff because there's so much back there that we should notice, and it just all becomes tighter the whole performance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited for Bert's books.
You know that in maybe the thing, the tiny note in Tech Body, there was a sentence or so said there that predicted the crucifixion in our products. I don't know if anybody, if you re-listen to it, listen for something. He says that. He says something about something, and you can see he's talking about that image.
Something about the completement formulas.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah,
does
I don't
sound...
know specifically, but I recall that they
yeah,
came
it said something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they might have said something about Jesus. So that was pretty amazing that they had. It'd be nice to find that because that's really good because that's a major poem by Ion, that matching. The third Jesus was crucified, and it means that you take our products, you'll go through the pain of ascension, like you're being crucified. It wouldn't be as dramatic pain, but it could be at different points. I mean, Bert has a lot of pain. We're going through crucifixion, and what an interpretation it is. You're putting your body through the mutation, which is going to be a bit painful, to get to a higher frequency
yeah.
or higher condition. That's and you use our products.
Well,
you can't
get yeah.
something more amazing, amazing than that.
Right.
Talk about new
right.
alchemy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm getting tired now. I don't remember my thought, but I had a thought. Oh, I am going to continue transcribing that session, that tech body and the tiny note. When I finished transcribing the second part, what I'm calling the second part, I went to find the audio mark and I'm like, holy shit, it's only like 7 minutes in. So I'm really truncating the transcriptions because if it's too long, there's kind of, I don't know, like, it's just too long. Like, I like to keep those sections a little bit more digestible in terms of reading them and getting the points and bolding the sections that really stand out. So I'm going to probably keep them a bit shorter. So we'll see how many parts end up, you know, it's a long session. It's like an hour and 18 minutes or something. So, but I am cutting some stuff out, you know, like I'm trying to kind of just get to the meat of it, and send those out. So, yeah.
So I got two emails from Neufeld. He says, Duffel said on July 20th, I've been thinking about Wayne Morris a lot today. As Dave said, he might not make it back from Tijuana. So Dave wrote during the show, I don't recall saying Wayne likely won't make it back from Tijuana, but I was worried for Wayne. He just emailed me saying he's back in Ontario. Now there's a second email.
Who's Wayne?
Wayne Morris was the guy who took over from International Connection from Bob Marshall in the early 90s, Steve Kellen, and he did it for many years. And then he's the one who got Greg Duffel to do it. He met Greg. But Wayne is an old... I do my last five shows with him because I was stopped because Michael left the station. So then Wayne let me come on. I said, I want to do five more shows. I want to play a lot of evergreens. So he agreed with it. So he's always been interested in what I'm doing. And he did the products years ago for a while. So I'm looking at the second email, and it's in that weird place where it won't reveal itself yet. So, Michael,
he replied to me recently when I emailed about the Stars and Suns showing up on that Hunter Biden laptop.
Right. You emailed. You pointed out to him. You've seen that.
Yeah. Well, I. You know. You. I don't know. You pointed it out, or
yeah,
Dave
about it. I made a post to everybody about it.
Did you discover it, or did Dave discover it?
No, Dave did.
Okay.
A band member in Broken Social Scene told him, the drummer or something.
Oh, funny.
So, yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It almost shows Dobbstown. You see, we see in major events, Dobbstown and Eindhoven is always in there in some format. That's
right.
Because
Ion's
creating all this stuff, so to speak.
Working hard for you, Bob.
Yeah.
Working hard for you. Left on Bob Rule.
Here's what he says. You write, he has another one. You say to him, that's wild indeed, Dave. Congratulations for your involvement in Lockdown Bob Rule reflected in the AM Cubed Swirl. That's what you say to Dave. And he writes back to all of us. He says, thanks, Alyssa. A combination of fluke, slack, and work. That's my biography. Fluke, slack, and work a little bit. Play. It was some kind of work. Paying attention work.
So he's
responding to you there. Combination. It's wonderful that it all happened. And he says, fluke, slack, and work. Slack gets closest to us, but he should add, because he's got a bit of Greg Brian in him. Dave's a resistor. He's a sub-genius, you know. He ain't going to totally agree with this because it's partly because he's so megalomaniac, he's going to be the center of the thing in the end, you know. He's very
Brian?
Shy. No, Dave Neufeld. He's very shy about it, but he's a megalomaniac, you know. He's very polite about it. And... So he says, flu, slack, and work. He wouldn't put in Iondome. He should have. Should have added that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to chide him for not including Iondome. I'm going to respond and slap him around a bit. Come on, Dave. You're doing a mini-max. You're resisting. You're a sub-genius, Dave. You got to get over it.
Well, that's crazy. I think that's so funny. Hunter Biden's laptop has Broken Social Scene on it. The name.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It is. New studio stars. And
I mean, that would be 20 years ago. So, you know, he was young. That probably was one of his innovative program music in his youth.
That It was. That was the computer that Nelson Thal bought him.
No, no, I'm talking about Hunter Biden 20 years ago.
Oh, wait, what?
When Broken Soul Scene was happening in 2002, 20 years ago, Hunter was young and impressionable, and that music was his favorite music, you know? He got him.
Right.
So when he's having his parties, he puts that music on. It's on Neufeld, which is really Dobstown. So.
Smoking crack to this total Dobstown Club.
What'd you say? No, what are you saying?
Smoking crack, a crack pipe to Club 22.
Yeah. What's it called? Libertine Gospel. That's what Hunter represents, the Libertine Gospel.
What's that, like do what you want?
Yeah, hedonism, I guess you'd call it.
All right, I got to hand the microphone to somebody else.
Okay, well, thank you very
Linda,
much. That's a very good probe, and that
you.
Was good. It's funny on that major recording of the Big Note and Ion and all that it has in there, you're the main voice on it, which is funny.
Yeah.
Send that to Fred.
It's good.
Tell him how well you're doing in your school.
Well, it's the charts have always been a part of my process. So yeah, that's cool. I remember the day that I had that conversation. I can go back and remember that experience where I was and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was before Vietnam or after?
In Vietnam. Yep.
Oh, you were in Vietnam on that phone call.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
So who we got left here? Linda's probably so fucked up in her living condition she can't participate anymore for a while. So we've got Sean, Nina, Dimitri. Is Nick there? So, not many people. So, what are we doing here? It's getting time, getting close to Zappa time. Anything you want to talk about, Michael? Or anybody else?
One more thing that I was just thinking about in terms of the whole conversation we've had tonight, Bob. In terms of you as, you know, the greatest artist who's ever existed. Because now with Ion, we can look back and we can see that In the broad term of the word artist, people that were artists were really just looking for power. And you can see that because many of them were going to mediums. They were actually on this quest.
Yeah.
Even though they were expressing it in the world as their art, they were really looking for power.
And so were scientists. Scientists were doing it too.
On all fields of art, you know, Tesla was an artist, Einstein was an artist. So I'm looking at the entire spectrum. All of those ones, they were going to mediums, and so they were really, even though they were, some of them might have gone to try and improve their art, what they were really looking for was power. And it's interesting how you never got stuck in any one field. You continued being an artist, and you got the power, but if people think about art, they might not think about you as an artist for some reason, you know. So.
Right.
But the insight for me is really that looking back, that this great quest that humans have had for power, you know, and Ion spoke about power, again tonight. Yeah.
So you're saying that the little man. They put the artist on the pedestal. They wouldn't put me in that kind of pedestal.
In the environment we are moving into, definitely, I would imagine. But in the previous environment, no, they wouldn't. You'd be invisible to what people were looking for if they were looking for an artist or because
that's right.
the artist had. Somehow experted, they became an expert or they'd cornered themselves in the one field and said, in this field I'm going to try and get my power and explore whatever it is, the non-physical or the mediums, but in this field. And your chart shows that you didn't do that.
And that might have been the secret. Maybe that's what you had to do. You had to be indifferent to knowledge or secular success or being a talented artist. You had to be indifferent to being human, almost.
You had to be indifferent, but you also had to recognize what was worth recognizing. This is what I was saying earlier about your vibrational proximity would bring you into circumstances that were valid to whatever you were up to, but at the same time didn't get wrapped up in any one completely so that you didn't look at anything else. And that's an amazing...
Well, that's where I'm the slackest. I was the laziest.
Yeah, that's the slack, yeah. That's
I went to one problem. Great seed after another, and I was too lazy to join it.
So there's something else going on besides the slack, right? Because there's the slack, that's the slack part of it, that you didn't get, but you somehow still had the tension or the somehow drive or momentum to search out particular fields and particular artists and particular music and recognize them and collect them and put them into some form that you, that we're not, So that's an interesting.
My chart is my painting, my composition. Yes, it's all the art.
Yes. Work of art.
And then it is pretty good chart. And then you see the angels helped, so that makes it a good chart, good work. And I guess the angels were helping Joyce. He put a cipher in Finnegan's wake, or unconsciously did. And then he also was interacting with the aliens, but they can be considered angels too. So this stuff that Ion represents is more part of history than people recognize. And that's what Ion came forth to. One of the agendas was to reveal the role of the mystery body. I mean, I even knew when I said there's five bodies and the fifth one we know nothing about. I knew there was something that we didn't know about that was knowable or going to be knowable. It was a causative factor. And the miracle of Mir was a big influence. You know, what it did for AIDS was pretty neat. So that would be the first miracle after the D-cell. Be Mir. And you haven't heard it, but in Carolyn's parts, often Ion will say, what we're telling you now about doing this and that, you were doing it with Mir. We now know that Mir had a lot going on in it, way beyond than the inventor, Walter, knew. But it's uncanny how the Mir was pretty amazing technology. And we got access to that. And it was a solution for AIDS, but the world wasn't going to let that happen yet. Had to wait till we got here. I think it's a better scene. I'm glad we waited. Glad none of it took.
And not only that, you didn't get stuck in anything, but you archived everything.
Yeah. And I had a good memory for it all. I never forgot it. I couldn't forget it. It's naturally there. I still walk around thinking of events when I was 5 years old and thinking about, well, that was shitty or that was good. And I remember the people involved, and I said, it'd be fun to meet them again and remind them of something that they wouldn't remember. I'd like to do that, but probably most of them are probably dead now. But I remember things from way back there. As if there were issues. Oh, there's an issue there. That shouldn't have gone that way. We should have done this or that, you know? still working on problems in service when I was six. Do you have that?
Well,
can you remember things way back that you mull over about, well, that should have gone a different way?
No, I have some childhood memories, but they're really not in focus, Bob. My earliest childhood memories, I have one or two, and I don't know if they're actually my memories or something I was told. I have no idea. I have photographs that my mother collected, and she gave them all to me that are very old photographs of me as a baby and as a child. And I can sort of resonate with them, but I don't have too many memories associated with them. My memories really start kicking in or a teenager somehow.
Oh, really? That late?
Yeah. I mean, I have memories before, but I don't think I was very present, and it took me a long time to kind of,
get grounded.
Get grounded.
Now, that would be, it could be anything in your reality, but it could be the problem of growing up in schizoid South Africa with apartheid
and
everything.
Well, not just that. I mean, my father died when I was 5. I should have some idea of what he looked like. I have no idea. No idea. No. And if I look at a photograph, I have no recognition. Absolutely no recognition of that person. So those memories are just somehow not there. I mean, they're there, but I don't know if they're just stories.
So maybe that's probably why you forgot a lot. It's suppressed. Yeah. It's not something you want to dwell on.
Anyway, Bob, to end off that discussion about the search for power, if we ever get stuck in eternity, you've given us enough to work with.
Yeah. I think I've done my part. I may be a lousy cult leader, but if you were lucky enough to stick with Bob's lousy cult, it paid off. Probably the worst cult, but the outcome was tremendous. If you were lazy enough to not bother go to a better cult and just hang out, boy, the rewards are huge.
Yeah. Yep, indeed.
It's funny.
So what is on the Frank Zappa menu tonight, Bob?
It's 1981 again. It's actually a concert just a couple of weeks before the last one, but it's a whole different recording. I'm amazed. Each time I go to the next bootleg or the next one I select, it's a different quality of recording.
Yeah.
You'll see in this one. And I didn't listen to all of it, so I'm just hoping it's good all the way through. It usually is.
Yeah.
But I was struck at the beginning, this is a pretty neat angle on what we hear. So it's in Houston, Texas, on October 17th, 1981. So, you know, he has these different he has the same band with these different concerts in the in a particular year, but it's interesting how different they are. Like, he really had the band. I like to interview one of these musicians about what did Zappa tell you in the afternoon in the sound check? You know, how much did he come up with? We're going to do this real differently. You know what I mean? That's what's interesting to me. How much he laid that out before the concert.
Yeah.
That he was able to have a different plan for every concert. Well, that's super creative.
How much he was reading his room, and I'm sure.
Yeah.
Him being him, he would read his room each time and go, well, this is what we're doing in this place.
Yeah, he probably was intuitive, psychic or something in his own way. He didn't go to a meeting or something, but he was very perceptive. I remember once when I first met him, I looked at his face. It was in the nighttime. And a spiral, that cliche spiral that comes out of Mystic's eyes, which is actually on the cover of Absolutely Free. Zappa has that spiral, I think, coming out of his eye. That spiral came out of his eye. So back then, if I was around a bunch of people who thought that way, I might say, he's an alien. But Ian says he's not. But I saw an interview with somebody who knew him back then, and they kind of reported the same thing. That something came out of his face. So I thought that was interesting. But I have those in my diaries. You know, I meet T.S. Eliot or somebody, and I have a little psychic flash. So I had a kind of psychic flash, not the first time I met him, but at one point in the early years, it came out. So as this new girl.
He may not be an alien, but there is definitely something that sets him uniquely apart. Just in the amount of work that he did, his level of seriousness with it.
I just read today that he, after his accident, he thrown in the pit. One leg grew shorter than the other when it recovered or grew back. And he said, I had a sore backache for the rest of my life. I don't get that at all from him. It's amazing how he could handle the pain he had.
Yeah.
But I know he went to a chiropractor. That's probably why he had to, because of the back pain. The distortion in his body so that it was off badly aligned because one leg was shorter. But there's a guy who did all this stuff and he had a bad backache all the time. Maybe when he played music, it took him out of the pain. Elevated him, you know?
Yeah.
Put him in another vibe. That's why he was always playing. So, nobody else has anything to say? Oh, I'm going to check the...
Hi, Bob. Looking forward to some Zappa.
Okay. You're finding it very enjoyable.
Yes. And I've got Phil and Ira visiting at the moment, so we're going to go out today and do something fun.
Who's visiting?
Phil and Ira.
Oh, that's your daughter. Oh, you mean Ira from Sweden?
Yeah.
And who's
she
Bill?
Just came to
we
the
never heard
UK.
That name before.
Ira.
Phil, oh, he's from the Midlands in England.
Oh, yeah, so. He's a guy, he's not from Sweden. So,
no.
I know she said last week or so she was going south. And she wasn't going back to Sweden. She was going south, so she was going down to see you in England.
Yeah. So she went.
So she's there in the room with you right now?
Well, they a few houses away. They booked in to a self-catering apartment just a block away from me.
How long are they going to be there?
Pub. 2 nights.
2 months? Are they looking for a new place
to
be? 3 months?
No, three nights. No, just
nights.
Evening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll get back.
Hey, there's Linda with an R. She actually is listed. She should come on and say something. But no, she's probably in a horrible new place where she lives now. Under many restrictions. So you've been talking to Ara. What's that like?
Nice, because she came to visit me before COVID once as well.
Yeah.
And she's a very strong woman, but there's also a lot of softness underneath all her strongness. So I like her a lot.
Is there strongness in the northern climate?
I think it's more something Swedish about it. Not that I know other Swedish people.
Right.
It's just like very self-sufficient type of strong. Yeah.
Is she
but
tall?
At the same time, there's a softness. Yes. Yes,
so she's
tall and upright.
Is she 6 feet?
No,
five,
not
ten?
That tall.
5'10".
Does she have Viking blood? Does she have Viking blood? That much.
There's lightning coming out of her eyes. Well, we're going to try and do some stuff. We'll see. Have some fun together.
Would she have listened to the show today?
I think because I had a few drinks last night, they didn't wake up. But they
didn't
will
wake
be
up.
Listening today. Yes.
Yeah. And Bill, is
traveling.
He a listener to Ion?
Yeah.
I think I've heard you talk about him before.
Yeah, Phil from, he's always predicting.
Oh, this is Phil. Phil, P-H-I-L,
yeah.
Phil. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Has he met Ara before?
No, this is his first time meeting in person.
Well, that's interesting. So you went out drinking with him?
Yeah, we met them in town last night. And then we went and sat on the beach a bit with the children, which was nice.
So what was discussed? What did you pool your knowledge? What did you assess of me? What did you guys confer?
Bob, we are all buzzing.
Buzzing, yeah.
Yeah, and you are prime topic.
I'm what?
Everything does revolve. You are prime topic. Everything revolves around you and Connie and Ion.
That's interesting.
In our world.
What do you think, yeah, Michael? What do you think they discussed?
Well, I'm wondering if this was a Iron Ord convention or Jean setting up a blind date. I can't figure it out.
A planned what?
Oh, no.
A
Don't
blind
go
date.
That way.
What was the word?
Blind date.
Blind date for
yes.
Phil? Oh, you mean Phil and Ara?
Phil and Ara, yes. You know,
oh, I see. I see.
Mm.
Yeah,
how's
well.
Your old, your last girlfriend, Michael, the one who is a showbiz person? How's her career going?
It's going very well, Bob. She's back in showbiz. She's back in the top soapy in the country and got a nice house in Johannesburg and appears to be enjoying her life very much.
Do you talk to her?
About every 3 months or so, we do a phone call, Bob.
Does she know about Ion?
She knows of, yes. And she knows about the products. She knows about all of that because of her involvement with me.
But she didn't do it.
Didn't resonate, no.
So you got that crazy dictatorship, or I don't know what you had. Is that still the case?
In our country?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the ANC, which is completely corrupt, completely bankrupt. Will unlikely win another election, and now will have to resort to different, probably to force to maintain their rule if they try and maintain it. Mm. So we have that going on, but for the most part, the country sort of goes along. We have a lot of power blackouts at the moment, so that's one of the issues.
It's a slow collapse.
Yeah, it's a slow collapse, but a lot of people are compensating and going off the grid, and so that's been good. These power blackouts have been good for those that choose to adapt. And now the city of Cape Town has decided that it's undergoing a project to completely take it off the South African Eskom grid and make it completely independent from the state. The problem with our country is the ANC captured the state. There's a state capture, so all main businesses, all income, all everything has been captured. To the point in COVID, they banned cigarettes, and then they themselves ran the cigarette black market.
Mm.
So, you know what I mean? So they've really captured all aspects of the country, the governance of financially and otherwise, and there's just such a level of incompetence because people weren't chosen because of their capacities. They were chosen because they were friends however those things work, and the incompetence level is extreme. So there's no ways a country can recover from that unless people become more localized, and that's happening. That's happening.
Well, that's interesting.
But I'd rather be here than many other places, Bob. I'll tell you that. I'm rather be right here. I didn't make a mistake on that level.
That's good. And no problem getting the products?
No. Actually, I made some orders in the last couple of weeks through our postal service, and I ordered the products after that, and the products arrived before the products I'd ordered in the country. So the speed of RNA reset is unbelievable, Bob. Even when it gets in the country, the service they use inside the country is very fast.
That's
you can
good.
Still get them in. Yeah, it's very good. I'm very pleased because I did order at one point and it said, we no longer serve your postal area. And I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But that was just a temporary hitch, apparently.
That's good. Okay, so Linda's not going to come on and talk? Doesn't look like it.
Hey, Bob, I want to say One thing I found out very interesting today was about the Tate guy being an alien.
Why, you know about him?